Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Putting honey on a half an onion when you've got a cold. Have you heard about that?
No.
No.
That's what my dad used to do. Made me feel physically sick.
So would he eat the onion with the honey on?
Yeah. He's absolutely swore by it.
Well, we used to just have hot whiskey. Which is sounds much better than onion with honey.
Maybe not when you're nine, but
knocks you out.
Welcome to Women Talking Bollocks, a podcast where you'll hear, well, three women talking utter bollocks. What you won't hear is anyone nattering on about fashion, makeup, diets, or those blinking Kardashians. I'm not even sure I know who they are, if I'm honest. But what you will hear is some uplifting, irreverent chat with myself, Jen Brister, and my two very dear friends, comedians and women, the very wonderful, if slightly eccentric, Maureen Younger, and the dashing, kind, charisma bomb that is Alison June Smith.
Well, Jen, you have now finished your tour.
Yay! Yay! Hooray.
We're more excited than Jen right at this moment because she's still exhausted.
I'm still
can't
so
really
tired.
Believe it's over.
Yeah. I am still so tired. I actually feel like someone has drugged me. My body's just now shut down. But yeah, I'm glad it's over. I'm so tired. God.
That's what happens, though. We said this. As soon as you were done, your body would just go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It absolutely has. It's just gone. Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm like walking through like mud or something. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I do. Yeah. Yeah.
But yes, I've got 2 days off before. Yay! I have to go back to do some work. So that's nice, isn't it? A whole 2 days together next to each other.
Wow.
I haven't had 2 days off together since August.
My God.
So I'm like, wow, this is a holiday. Actually, that's not true because I went to Cork, didn't I? So I had a break there.
Yes, you did.
But that's not true. So I just told a lie there. But
no.
Like, you know, it has been quite like very intense. So I'd have like 8 weeks of just full on work. Then I had that break in Ireland, which was so lush. And then really, really, this bit of the tour has been very intense because all the shows have been 5 shows together, 4 shows together, 5 shows together with 1 day off in between. And that was the one. And I think because it was right at the end of a 115-date tour, I was like, hurly burly. Ooh, baby.
Uh-huh.
Somebody pass me the Zimmer frame to make it to the end of the line.
But me and Alison supported Jen the last 2 shows. Very nice shows. Manchester Royal Exchange, which was lovely. Doing comedy in the round, which none of us had done before.
How did you find that?
Yeah, I was like, how am I going to do it? And then it does work. You think it shouldn't work, but it does work. With a very nice audience, that always helped.
Yeah.
Very nice staff as well. That's always a big plus. And then we were at the Nottingham Playhouse. Again, very nice, very lovely audience. Very nice proscenium march theatre, traditional theatre. And then we went to the bar, didn't we? We had a few cocktails and waited for an Indian curry. Tense moment because we thought the curry wasn't going to turn up and I need to eat. I'm like the honey monster, aren't I, if I haven't eaten? I'm like, argh.
Yeah.
And then we had a very nice curry, very nice guy that was there. Omar, the barman, head barman, absolutely wonderful at the Crown
Lovely
Plaza.
Guy.
Yeah, shout out to lovely Omar. If you're in Nottingham, go to the
Crown Plaza.
He Crown Plaza. Just go
top
to the bar.
And... Top barman. And we went for a swim the next morning, didn't we? Which was nice. We had the pool to ourselves for about half an hour.
So lovely. That was so lovely.
That was really nice, wasn't it?
I think doing the show in the round was really fun. Like you said, though, Maureen, because it was a lovely audience. I was thinking about this the other night. I was like, if it was an audience, did not care for you. Theater in the round is like many nightmares I've had in my life where you just feel everyone's
looking at you.
Don't like you. I was like,
It was just such a fun show to do. And it was really fun to have both of you there as well. And the last two shows. And also, although I was really tired, those last shows were so fun because, well, they were the last two shows, but also because the audiences were so fantastic, you know, like, and I have to say that about all of my shows.
Absolutely. I was going to say that, Jen. I was going to say nice every audiences. Single audience of yours, they're everyone
insane.
Who came, you were a joy. You were a joy and electric and so fun. I feel
exactly.
so lucky that we got to experience that. I don't know about you, Maureen, but.
I just said after Manchester, because you'd gone home, obviously. I wanted some food. Jen had some really nice friends waiting for her. And I was like, right, the light's green now. Let's go. Like, I was like. And needs food. We went to McDonald's. It was the only place that was open. And I said to Jen, don't look, because I'm meant to be eating healthily. So I said, don't look at what I'm eating, what I'm choosing. So I chose my stuff. And then Jen pointed out something.
Well, I wasn't allowed to look at what Maureen was ordering. And then she went, I don't want you sort of judging me. And I went, okay. I went, look. And then as we left, she just like hefted two humongous bags. Of which I took one fillet of fish out of. And I went, I think the cat's out of the bag, Maureen. But
guess what? It's not a bag full of McDonald's fruit. There's no fruit.
Yeah, it was fruit and salad. It was all fruit and salad. And I've also got news. I'm in the final of Britain's Comedian of the Year.
Yay! Final. Which is on what date and where, in case we want to go and support you.
It will have happened by the time this comes out.
Never mind, everyone. Thank you if you did go, if you found out the information. That's great.
And can I just say, if I win, I will never stop talking about it. If I don't win, it will never get mentioned ever again.
Fair enough.
So you will know how it went by future podcast conversations.
Maureen, weren't you in the... Let's talk about something else.
As I said, Maureen, the fact that you're in the final... What is a bloody...
I know, it's only eight of us.
Very high pitch there, didn't I? It was like I was just sort
bloody.
Of... Like inhaled a helium balloon. What I meant to say was, it's a real achievement to get to the final. How many comedians went...
Hundreds.
Thousands, wasn't it?
Thousands.
I think it was over 1,000, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was over 1,000 people went for this, and it's whittled down to, is it eight?
Eight.
Okay, I think that's huge. Mm. I think that's a huge achievement, and you should be really proud of that. And I suspect there's probably, out of those eight, only two women,
at the
of which you are one at most. So, again, well done. It's brilliant. And I think you should win. And I wouldn't say it if I didn't mean it. I would just go, well, good luck.
How did you get in?
It's a shocker. No, I probably just wouldn't say anything. But I think you should win, Maureen. So win or not win, it doesn't matter. It's a real well done for getting to the final, right?
Yeah.
Brilliant.
No, I'm really pleased.
Fantastic. So good.
You should form an alliance now, Maureen. So this is there used to be this one big contest in Canada that comedians would do once a year. And there was these two guys, two very good friends of mine. Paul Meyerhog.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And RIP Matt Billen. And they both were in the contest. And so they both said to each other, look, if either one of us wins, do we split the money? And they absolutely did that. And I was like, that increases your odds, right? Because look, okay, yeah, you win whatever. But so make an alliance, Maureen.
Maureen's not going to do that.
No, I'm not going to do that.
Okay.
She'd rather lose than split the money.
Yeah.
I gotcha. Yeah.
She ain't splitting that money with anybody.
If I'm in any future contests, I'm looking for alliances out there, comedian. So,
well,
remember that. But I'm never doing a contest again. You're brave.
Yeah. And if you do, don't choose Maureen. Sometimes I have to lean into her when she's going to the bar, just in case you're thinking about.
I bought you a fillet of fish. What more do you want?
She did, actually. Maureen did buy me. And to be fair to Maureen, she went, do you want a meal?
Yes.
I said no, I don't.
Just the fish, please.
I really don't like the way you said that, Alison. That upset me. as you leant into the microphone and went just and whispered bit. Just that. And I say that as a lesbian. Well, Maureen, well done for getting into the final. Alison, talk to us about your week. We all know what happened to my week. I finished a tour. The end. What's going on with you?
I'm beginning a tour. There, I'm plugging it every show now. I'm just going to slide that in every single time. Yeah.
So. You are beginning a tour. And the first date, I believe, is already sold out. Or one of the dates is sold out.
First date, Newcastle. Bless your heart, Newcastle. They bought so many tickets so quickly. Glasgow, another one, bought so many tickets so quickly. Manchester's picking up. My Birmingham fans, if I have any out there. I could really use you, and I'd love to see you.
So you're performing at my gig in January, aren't you?
Yep.
Just before.
Birmingham.
On January the 10th.
Get yourself a ticket to
come and see me. January, February is mainly where the beginning dates are now. So, yeah, please go to AlisonJuneSmith.com and come see me. Please.
Yes, absolutely. Go and see Alison on tour. You will not be disappointed, particularly if you already saw her giving, I don't know what I was going to say, giving me a... giving me a support,
fish.
giving me some fish. we've done it again. Absolutely too early in the morning for this, isn't it? Surely.
Good morning.
Alison, I'm really excited about your tour, and I know it's going to go brilliantly. And I actually am finding, particularly I found with my tour, a lot of people buying tickets where you think, there was a couple of dates where I went, well, that's not going to sell. And then,
boom.
Genuinely, like a week before, boom. So don't fret. Anyway. You can go to www.alisonjunesmith.com to go and buy any of her tickets to her tour. Maureen Younger will find out about your exciting news very soon, whether or not Maureen wins British Comedian of the Year, which we all believe that she should. And finally, I am not going to talk about this tour ever again.
Yay!
We must all be so relieved. And thank you to all of the WTB listeners that came to the show. I love you all. You made yourselves heard in the audience. And I just want to say thank you. It means a lot.
And if you haven't seen the tour, you can buy it by the... Is it streaming or you can buy it?
Oh, do you know what, Maureen?
I completely forgot.
For doing that. Oh, my God. Wow. Maureen Younger, thank you so much. Yes. Oh, God almighty. Absolutely crap at this, aren't I? My special. If you didn't get a chance to see the show, and it doesn't matter where you live, finally, I've distributed a special that isn't just in the UK. So this special... is available through £800 Gorilla. But if you go to my website, jenbrister.co.uk, you can order it there and it will direct you straight through to £800 Gorilla where you can order it. And it's basically pay what you want. So if you can only afford a pound, only pay a pound. And guess what? With that, for free, you will receive an audio version of my previous show, Underprivileged. So that's two for one. And it's pay whatever you want, kids. I'm not asking you to pay what you can't afford. So, yes, thank you very much, Maureen Younger, for reminding me to do that. Wow. Let's never speak of comedy again.
Okay, that was a lot. We're sorry, everyone.
That was a lot of comedy.
That was too much.
Alex is like, mate, we've talked about this. No one gives a fuck about comedy. And we always talk about it as if people's care factor's low. Stop talking about it. This is the final time. And thank you for indulging us. But now it is time to turn back to the younger woman in the corner of my screen. And her name is Maureen. And it is time to hear what her Bima Money moment is.
I messaged Jen. I have just put olive oil in my eyes. And I was like, sitting there going, why is it so blurred?
I mean, you can't make this shit up, can you?
It was fine in the end. But I wouldn't recommend it.
No,
you wouldn't recommend it, Maureen.
Well, this is a Be More Maureen moment where Jen features.
Oh.
Yes. Me and Jen were in the jacuzzi and Jen just...
Oh, hello.
Jen...
Fish.
And Jen just started laughing hysterically. And sometimes she laughs at me because I don't behave like other people do. Like the night before, I'd had a nice creamy cocktail. I used my finger to wipe all the cream up and lick it. Type of thing, but anyway, I'm lying back in the jacuzzi. There's nothing wrong with that. That is pretty normal behaviour. What I didn't realise was I had this new swimming costume on, which I'd bought just because we were going swimming, and it was like a bikini kind of thing,
a tankini,
and the top was actually around my neck. So I was flashing Jen and completely unaware of it,
completely topless,
lounging back.
So, of course, because Maureen's lounging back, her tits just went ding, ding, bing, floated right to the top. I literally could not stop laughing. I didn't even say anything. I didn't even tell
you. You didn't say anything. No, you just went.
No, I just heard laughter from the hot tub area at an extreme volume. Yeah.
It was really funny. Jen just went, no, well, you could do it in front of me, Maureen, but I wouldn't do it in front of anybody else. I'm like, what the fuck is she on about? All I'm doing is lounging.
To be fair, look, in that moment, nobody else was in the... That guy with the face tattoos had just walked in. And so there was only, so there was only like, and he was in the steam room. So there was only three of us there. But I thought, if he comes out and Maureen's still there, hands behind the back of her head, tits
completely
oblivious.
I don't think he would have said a word and he would have gone right to the hot tub.
Yeah. Tankini round her neck. That would have been the first indicator to me. I'd be like, what is this around my neck? Nope,
didn't notice.
Yeah.
I have to say, despite being semi-naked in front of Jen, she managed to control herself with utmost ease. Didn't you? You were no problem there, Jen. You were very calm and collected.
Yeah, it's absolutely incredible, isn't it? That I
semi-naked
wasn't...
woman in front of you in a hot tub, and you were like, you're the least bit bothered.
As we know, I indiscriminately gawk at women. I don't. It doesn't really matter to me.
Never once.
Maureen, on a positive note, what a great rack.
Well done. I was going to say, on a positive note, great tits. She doesn't great even tits. Need the water to float. They're perky, everyone, just so you know.
Really yeah. Perky boobs for a woman of your boobs. Age. Well true. Done. Really well done. That's
for
great.
For 38.
You should be proud of those.
Yeah.
Well, I suppose for 38, they should be reasonably perky.
Yeah.
But yes, that was a classic Be More Maureen moment. I'd completely forgotten about that. Also, the other Be More Maureen moment was, which we're going to put out on Patreon, but I've asked Alex not to put up because I was genuinely cross with Maureen. is that right if I tell this one, Maureen?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I'd said to Maureen, before I go on stage at the Nottingham Playhouse, this is the final show, I said, what I'd really love to do is to get a photograph of all of us on stage with the audience behind us. I said, but can you bring my phone on so we can do that? Can you bring my phone on stage so we can do that? And Maureen said, yeah, yeah, I'll try and remember to do that. I said, well, tell Alison and she'll remind you. And Maureen went, yeah, I'll do that. So Maureen walks on stage at the end of the show and hands me her phone. And I was like, that's your phone. That's not my phone. And you went, oh, I don't know where your phone is. And I went, Maureen, I only asked you to do one thing, which was to bring my phone. And then she went, well, you didn't tell me to bring it on stage. And I went, what? And she went, I brought it backstage. And I went, I'm going to fucking punch you in the face. I said, of course, when I said bring it on stage, I meant on stage. And she went, well, you should be more specific next time. I was like, oh my God, I can't even talk to you. Fortunately, Alison, your phone doesn't have like 6 inches of grease on it.
I told Alison to bring her phone.
She did. So she didn't necessarily nail the initial instructions, but she did say to me, bring a phone. Jen wants to take a picture on stage.
My phone will be has like yes, grease yeah. filter.
So, exactly. So when you arrived with your phone, I went, I can't use that phone.
Grease.
It would have taken
blurred.
6 minutes to clean it. Anyway, we recorded a Patreon afterwards, which I've asked Alex not to post because I was so annoyed with Maureen. I couldn't even be jokey on it. I was just a bit of a bitch. So I said, don't put that up because no one needs to see me being absolute twat to Maureen. So we're not putting that up, but I am going to be really candid and say that did happen. Poor Maureen does not get it in the neck. Genuinely, I believe she did try, but when we came out, she had left it on a table backstage.
Yeah.
But you had brought...
I had brought it up.
Yeah.
We brought yeah,
I mean,
two
you've done, yes, I mean, you've done 50% of it, so I shouldn't get so cross with you. Anyway, thank you very much, Maureen Younger, for your Be More Maureen moment. Let's go to Alison June Smith because she has some questions someone needs an answer to. So it's time to ask Alison.
Go to the gym, get it together, pay your taxes and stop eating chips. Take my advice.
Take my advice. I ain't using it.
Oh, thank you so much. Hey, again, thank you everyone who is writing in. Surprise, surprise. I am not a professional therapist or trained in any way, shape, or form, but I am a gal who wants to share some advice. I do some research, and I just want to make everyone's life a little bit easier. so I can avoid my own. So here we go. I loved this one, and I think it's very appropriate. Jen, I think you'll jump right in. I think this will be very exciting. So, and also, this is from a grass puddle, a listener from another thing that I did. Remember when I did that radio show in LA for a period of time?
Yeah.
This was one of our regular listeners, and he has now followed to WTB. He, you know, watches Haley Ellis. He has been such a great support. So shout out to you, grass puddle. I'm answering your question right away. So good to hear from you. So here we go. How do you handle traveling for work with your significant other? Do you discuss your plans, or do you just appear and disappear without really discussing it? Do you bring back presents or trinkets from places you went to? Maybe show up for a meal with just a nod and continue as if you had never really left. Also, he said he recently had his bag delayed, so he had to go shop at Shoppers Drug Mart in Canada, so he knows that it's a savior. Well done, grass puddle. Good for you. I thought this was a great question. If you're traveling a lot for work and you have a partner, how do you make this work? How do you get into this? Now, I've been very fortunate. I have a partner who from the beginning knew that that's what it was. When Danny and I first met, we went on one date and then I went to Canada for a month and a half. And he called. Yeah, I was like, hi, nice to meet you. I got to go. But he called me every day for a month and a half. And that's how I knew he was the one. Yeah. So I've been very fortunate, but perhaps you have a partner who doesn't fully understand this process. Some things that I think you can do, okay? First off, let them remind them constantly that you are away for work. This is not a holiday. Sometimes I think people think that when we're away, it's like a huge party and we're having this great time. It's not. We are scrounging for McDonald's sometimes late at night. We are trying to survive. It is work. So always let your partner know, like, you know, this is work. Like, I think the biggest thing is make communication a priority. Okay. So, and by saying that, I also say plan every time you're going to communicate next and follow through on those plans. Okay. So if you're like, I will call you tomorrow at this time, do that. Follow through so they know that they are always an important aspect of your life and that you are making the effort to stand by the things that you said you would do. Technology is so amazing now. You can see each other. You can always show them where you're staying, who you're working with. You know, it's important to make them feel like they are still a part of your life and that you are a part of their life. So you always want to know what's going on. Be an active listener when you're communicating. Yes, tell them about what's going on with you, but ask lots of questions about them. What's going on? You want to know what is happening in their lives while you're not there. Learn to deal with jealousy. In other words, you really got to work on developing that trust between the two of you, which is where I think the constant communication, no secrets, that's really, really going to help. You got to take care of yourself. Although you're away, look, by having your own experiences and doing these things while you're away from your partner, you also have a lot to share with them. You have a lot of life experiences. So it is important too to foster yourself and do things for yourself while you're on the road. Don't be feeling guilty and don't punish yourself the whole time you're away, because you're just going to make yourself more tired, burnt out. And then by the time you get back, you're not that happy, fulfilled person. All right. So it's important for you, and same for your partner. You got to be doing things. I don't know if that means getting involved with a class, joining a book club, aka the WTB one with Maureen. Excellent. Things that will fill you so you're not just waiting around to get back to your partner, because yes, you miss them, but you still have to have a full life. And a lot of couples out there, I think, would love that opportunity, because let's be honest, a little bit of absence does make the heart grow fonder. But be sure you're filling yourself and your partner is doing their own thing. Know the end date. When are you coming back? Count down. Celebrate that. 9 more days, 8 more days. So you're always looking forward to that next point. I loved this. Before you go, why don't you leave a few little love notes hidden around the house? Right?
Do you do that?
Yeah, they go to the sock drawer, they pull it out. I miss you, I'm thinking about you. Like, that's cute, I thought.
It is cute. That is cute, right? I think if I did that, Claire would think I was having a breakdown.
Why are you being so nice to me?
But some creep left something in the...
That was me. I'm your creep. I thought that was a cute idea. Send them postcards from where you're at, little trinkets, so they just know that you're always thinking about them. Those little unexpected things. Hey, send them flowers one day unexpectedly, just so they know that they are always still constantly on your mind. This is it. These are the main things that I think will help you through these things. Communication, constant checking in, always sending little gifts, little reminders, just so they know that they are a part of your life, even when you're not there. Jen, as a person who's just been on tour for forever, and I remember now. I remember the big thing that I thought was so good. I thought it was so good. Even though you're away, you could still do something together. So maybe you both take the same book and you read the same book while you're away. So then when you talk, you have that book to talk about. Maybe it's a TV series that you're going to watch while you're away. So then when you connect again, you can be like, hey, so what's going on? So you still have that linking thing. That was one thing that I thought was a really good piece of advice, and that might help a lot of people. Sorry I jumped in. Jen, is there anything else that you can think of that, you know, you guys have done while you've been away so much?
Well, we're constantly having phone sex, as you can imagine.
fish. Go. Yeah. Sorry. It was overkill. That was 4 times.
I think Chloe is really supportive of me leaving the house. I think Chloe likes a certain amount of me not being around, to be genuinely.
Yeah.
But not as much as this year. I think even she said, this has been a bit much.
Yeah.
So, yes, I think everything that you've said is just trying to keep that connection. Because what can be tricky is when you're away a lot, is particularly if you're going away for quite long chunks of time, when you come back, there's a little bit of a disconnect, and then it can take a while for you to fit in with your partner.
Yeah.
Especially if you live together, they're in a routine, they're doing things in a particular way. And then suddenly you arrive with all of your bags going, oh, hi, I'm back. And they're like, yep, okay, but can you just get out of the way? Because we're just about to... So it's about trying to keep that connection while you're away so that you can sort of fall back into the rhythm of each other quite easily. Because I think when you're away, particularly when you're away, going to Canada for 6 weeks or whatever, and then you're coming back and you're seeing Danny, you know, if you haven't been like, if you're not regularly in contact, when you come back, it's going to feel a little bit like I just think trying to find ways to keep that connection with each other, whatever that might be, and you've made some brilliant suggestions of how to do that, I think it's important. And also, you know, as much as it's important for you as a person to stay in contact with your partner, it is really nice for your partner to say, hey, how are you? I'm just checking in. How's work going? I imagine, because look, people are always like, oh, it must be so nice to be in a hotel. Okay, look, just to be really clear, it's fine. It's okay, but it's not great getting kicked out at 11 o'clock in the morning and then having to wait 4 or 5 hours till you can find somewhere else to stay. I don't particularly mind a hotel. I don't hate them, but I'm not one of these people that's like, oh my God, I cannot believe it. It's because, you know, when you spend so much time in hotels, after a while, you're like, yeah, I mean, sure. It's fine. Mm-hmm. And also, I don't sleep well in hotels, which is has not been very handy. So don't assume that your partner is having, like you said, living this. I mean, sometimes I wanted to like just video what I was doing to send to Chloe and go, just to let you know, this is what's happening right now as I'm standing at Manchester Oxford Road station in the pissing rain.
Waiting glamour. For a really busy train.
Yeah, waiting to not get a seat on a train to go to wherever I'm off to. So, yeah. But those are all great suggestions, Alison. And I think it's just, as with all things in a relationship, it's all about communication, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And I think once you fall out of that habit of communicating what's going on and who you are and blah, 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 then you're in trouble.
But that can happen even if you're living together all the time. Let's be honest. Communication is the key no matter what. So,
exactly. So that's the thing. It's like, just try, you know, and sometimes going away, that's why when people go away, sometimes the relationships can be stronger because you're forced to keep that communication going because they're not there.
Yeah.
And you get to miss them and all of that sort of stuff. I'm sure Chloe misses me. I mean, she's never said it out loud, but I'm sure she missed me occasionally. WTB listeners, just a little note to say, please do pre-order my special, The Optimist, which is out on the 21st of November. You can pre-order it now. It will also come with an audio version of my previous show, Underprivilege. It's through 800 Pound Gorilla, and you can get it and find out all the information in the show notes or on my website or on my Instagram or on my Facebook.
Hi, WTB listeners. I don't have a special coming out, and I'm not going on tour, at least not for the moment, due to popular demand. But I do have a book, and it's Christmas, so come on, what more could you want? It's called Prisons of My Life. It's the main character in a lot of the short stories is somebody called M. God knows who she could be. Just my vivid imagination at play again. And you can get it via Amazon. Link will be in the show notes.
Hey, UK WTB listeners. I am so excited as I am going on my very first UK tour. Take a look at my website and see when my show, Little Smith Sunshine, might be coming to you. Starting in January, February, and I'm sure I'm going to add more dates. Speaking of which, if you want me to come to you, let me know where you think I should perform next. You can get tickets at my website, www.alisonjunesmith.com, and that will be in the show notes as well. Thank you so much, and I can't wait to meet you all.
Sorry, Alison, I'm distracted by the fact that Maureen appears to be drinking double cream.
I'm not drinking double cream.
What are you drinking?
It's a cafe latte.
Oh, thank God. Sorry, Alison, let's be honest. It wouldn't be out of the realms of possibility that Maureen is chugging on some double cream. It is time for us to take a moment, just a little beat, to think about what we have been reviewing with our eyeballs that we would like to impart with our mouthballs and... people listening can use their earballs. Didn't we do balls last time?
We did,
it didn't work.
Yeah,
I don't know why
you did
I'm insisting.
Balls last time.
Alex just cringed when you said mouth balls again.
It's not. It didn't work last week. It's not working this week. I'm going to have to stop improvising.
I like that you're trying to sell it though. Mouth balls.
Yeah, I thought. Yeah, let's go with mouth balls again. No, sorry, let it go.
I watched The Crown because I was at Jen, so I could access Netflix.
I've just started. Yeah,
first four episodes. I have to say, I can't remember her name. The woman who plays Diana. It's like Elizabeth
Debicki. She's Australian, isn't
she? She's Australian. Absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, she's got Diana, her mannerisms, the way she talks, even how she holds her foot. It's just, she deserves all the awards going. She is absolutely stunning as Diana. And the first four episodes deal with, obviously, Diana's death. I don't think that's a spoiler. And it starts off with a crash, and then I think it goes back to 2 months previously or something. And it just makes you realise how, like, what life is like. Is that, you know, she's living her life, she's, you know, in her prime, and there's no way she would have thought, this is my last 2 months. And what comes across, obviously you don't know how true all this is that she's a really loving mother. She just the kids are the most important thing. She's a really good relationship with them. She wasn't meant to be in Paris. She only happened to be in Paris because Dodi wanted to buy a ring and it wasn't in, I think, where they were in the south of France. So she wanted to get back to the kids. And he went, I'll just come to Paris for the night. And you think, if you hadn't done that, how different history would have been. And also you get the idea that Charles is trying to get Camilla established and that he wants people to accept her, which is understandable, that she makes him happy. But Diana knows how to manipulate the press, and that she has Camilla has this big 50s birthday party that Charles wants to be in the news. She turns up in a swimsuit and she's all in the front page. But the price, you know, because obviously they'd rather take a photo of Diana. But, you know, she pays a heavy price for that, and that everywhere she goes, she's just paparazzi everywhere. And you get the feeling she can't do anything without the paparazzi just... You know, and you think, God, thank goodness it wasn't during social media when everybody had a phone and a camera. It would have been even worse.
I think The Crown for me, I didn't finish the series before because I felt like it...
Run out of steam?
A little bit, yeah. And it started to... I mean, I'm not suggesting any of it is accurate. Because, I mean, you know, it's all sort of fictionalised version of the life of the royal family, but I felt like it was kind of based on something vaguely naturalistic, and then it sort of went a bit bananas in the last couple of series, and I just think I just sort of lost interest. I think it felt a bit more soapy than drama.
I would watch it just for her performance, because she is, wouldn't you agree, Alison, she's absolutely
Elizabeth,
amazing as Diana.
Phenomenal.
Elizabeth Debicki.
Yeah.
Debicki.
Yeah.
Debicki. I don't know how you
she's Australian, yes. Yeah. Absolutely amazing.
Yeah, I mean, I saw her in the series before, but I haven't seen this one. And yeah, she's very convincing as Diana. She's really got all of her
mannerisms and her voice and, you know, everything.
Yeah.
Absolutely brilliant.
Yeah. Okay, so that's The Crown, which is on Netflix. I'm sure available absolutely everywhere. If you haven't watched it yet, I genuinely enjoyed particularly the first two series.
Yeah.
You liked Claire Foy, didn't you?
I loved Claire Foy so much that when Claire Foy was no longer the queen, I was like, I don't know if I can. I sort of tapped out after series two, really. But the first two series I really loved. And also Vanessa Kirby. Is it Vanessa Kirby?
Yeah, Vanessa Kirby.
Princess Margaret. I thought she was outstanding as well.
So good. Yeah.
And those were my favourites. Anyway, watch it. Don't watch it. It's up to you. I mean, we're just making suggestions here. Maureen, thanks for that. I watched... All the Light We Cannot See, or All the Light...
Oh, I've read the book. I've read the book. The book is brilliant.
Yes, I've heard that the book is fantastic. Yes.
Okay.
I really wanted to like this.
Is it a film or a TV series?
It's a TV series. It's a limited series. It's not actually that many episodes. I think it's four episodes. And it is on Netflix. And it's obviously, yeah, it's based on a book by, what was his name? Anthony, is it Durer or Durer?
Durer or something, yeah.
Durer, Anthony Durer. And it's, it's a four-part series on Netflix, and it follows the stories of a blind French girl played by Aria Maya Liberti and her father, Mark Ruffalo. They're French. And living in Paris when the Nazis invade in 1941. And also a German soldier named Werner, who is played by a chap that I really recognise him. I can't remember what else is. I think his name is Louis Hoffman. That's his name. And he plays a young German soldier who is in Paris during the occupation. And he's a specialist in radio. He knows everything, how to build radios, and so he's able to intercept the Allies' conversations on radio. So he's a very important sort of Nazi operative, if you see what I mean. But he's just a young kid. He was an orphan, and he was picked out by the SS to go to a special camp to be dehumanized enough to go out and fight in a war. Anyway, it's about a story of these two young kids during the Second World War who listen to this radio show. And even pre-war, they all listen to this radio show on shortwave. And it's a man talking, and he's trying to communicate to children, and he's educating them about the universe and about the stars and about life and about love. And that person, as it turns out, is Aria's uncle. She doesn't know this at the time, but it's her uncle, Etienne Leblanc, who she meets later. Anyway, that's beside the point. But he talks to them about all the light we cannot see. And it's something that these children listen to, and it gives them a lot of comfort. And Werner has listened to it since he was a child in Germany, where he was growing up in an orphanage, and Marie-Laure, or whatever, if I can't remember her fucking name. Anyway, she listens to it as well because her dad's got radio. Anyway, so that's the connection between these two characters, is that they both listen to this radio station. And anyway, that's all I'm going to tell you. That's the beginning of it. Okay. Otherwise, I'm telling you the whole blinking story.
Yeah.
And you don't need that. But anyway.
Did you like it?
I can see that as a book, it would probably be absolutely fantastic. I don't know. It just did not work I don't think it worked particularly well. I did watch it and I didn't hate it, but the first episode in particular, I was like, oh my God, this is really like hard work. The last three episodes sort of it picks up a bit. And I think the cinematography is really good and it looks fantastic. It looks amazing. It just didn't work for me. And Mark Ruffalo's English accent made me want to drag my face down a pebble dash wall. I was like, what is, you know, when Americans sort of try to do
just do English that accent, ridiculous, stupid.
They do things like, they say things like accent, and they sort of have this, oh yeah. I don't know what was going on with the accent, but it was absolutely bananas. And I sort of recognised it as an English accent, but I also sort of didn't recognise it as an English accent. It was kind of a mishmash of accents, which I couldn't figure out where this bloke was supposed to be from. Anyway, apart from anything else, he's French. So I don't know why he had to have an English accent at all. But I suppose it's because everybody else did. We're French with English accents, just to let you know. The acting was good. I can't put my finger on why it didn't work, but it just sort of felt quite clunky. And I felt like some of the German characters were so caricatured to be sort of, this is the Nazis, they just have no feelings and they were just monsters.
There's a skit, I can't remember who did it. There's a skit where it's a comedy skit where all the German generals meet. You know, I am the stupid one. I am. Do you know what I mean? I've got to find it. It's very, very.
I am the psychopath. I am a psychopath.
You know, all those cliches. I am a psychopath. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So everybody in the German army is a psychopath.
Right.
Apart from this young lad, Werner, who has a deep connection. Oh, that's the other thing, because I wanted to say that this young girl, when is trying to connect with her father, and so she starts talking on the same shortwave radio, and so he starts listening to her, and he sort of forms this connection with this young girl. She's actually giving subliminal messages out to the resistance through reading certain pages from particular novels, and the resistance are getting these messages through this shortwave radio station that her uncle Etienne has set up, basically, because now he works for the resistance. Anyway, that's more information than anyone needs. The point is, it's available on Netflix. Watch it, don't watch it. I don't know that I can recommend it, but visually it's very beautiful. I think it's one of those things where you just think, wow, they've really put a lot of effort into the director of photography and the cinematographer, obviously very, very, very adept at what they're doing. Maybe should have focused a little bit more on the script. And maybe, yeah, that's it really. It's a fantastic cast, of which Hugh Laurie plays Etienne, and he's brilliant, as he is in everything. And that was what drew me to it. It was Mark Ruffalo and Hugh Laurie and this fantastic cast. And I thought, it's going to be an absolute banger. It wasn't. Alison, what have you been watching in the horror section of the televisual world?
Well, speaking of absolute bangers, so the horror movie that I'm going to recommend, I thought it kind of tied into the problem in that, like, if you don't keep in touch with people, if you don't, you know, then you can kind of not know what's going on with them. And I'm not going to get too, because I'll give away the whole twist of this movie. But the movie that I'm going to recommend is The Visit. All right. Directed and written by M. Night Shyamalan. It is phenomenal. The storyline is this.
Is this the guy that directed The Sixth Sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's done. Yeah. Some of his, for me, hit or miss. This one I really enjoyed. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So the storyline is, Becca and Tyler plan a week-long stay at their grandparents' place, whom they have never seen. Two siblings become increasingly frightened by their grandparents' disturbing behavior while visiting them on vacation. Little do they know that their visit will be the most terrifying experience of their lives. So, essentially, these two kids are going to meet their grandparents. I mean, do I suspend my disbelief that a mother who hasn't talked to her parents for ages are going to send their kid? Yeah, go see your grandparents who you've never met. I'll see you later. But I love this story because, yes, there is increasingly weird behavior with the grandparents. And you're like, what is going on? And the twist, I did not see coming. I hadn't read much about this ahead of time. I didn't know. It's creepy. It's not like gory in any way, shape, or form. No, not gory. Just creepy and like.
What's it called again?
The Visit.
The Visit. Okay. Yeah. Sorry. I feel like this is a film that I have heard of, but I don't think I've seen it.
I would honestly, I recommend it, Maureen. I think even you would enjoy this. It's not scary like. You know, there's not a lot of jumps and it's just creepy. And the creepiness kind of builds and builds and builds to this point. And you're like, what is about to happen? And then the twist happens and you're like, did not see that. And I loved it. Yeah, I really enjoyed
it. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Is it super creepy?
It starts out really nice. It's kids visiting their grandparents. And then when it gets to be nighttime, that's when the creepiness starts. But again, you're waiting to understand, what is this creepiness? What is happening? And Yeah, I loved the twist on this one. I loved the twist on this one. Yeah. Yeah.
Alison, I want to let you know that I recently tried to watch a recommendation of yours from ages ago, Sinister, with Ethan Hawke.
Oh, Sinister is brutal.
Oh my God. I couldn't finish it. I was on my own. I was in a hotel room. It was really late at night. I think I watched about 45 minutes and I got so creeped out that I had to stop. Yeah. So I don't know what happened at the end, but I mean, it's one of those films I might go back to, but holy moly. And like nothing gory happened, but it was scared the living crap out of me. So now when you say it's not gory, I still think it doesn't need to be gory to stay in my brain.
Yeah. Yeah. But I just like people to know, like, it's not blood and gore, you know, but it is creepy. And to me, creepy is more effective for terror than blood and gore, blah, blah. Like, so.
Yeah. That's the kind of different thing that you get from the film. But anyway, actually, I just literally Googled that so I could remember the name of it. And I started to feel creeped out again. Yeah. That's how creepy I found that film.
It is a creepy one.
Which makes me think that I am a bit of a lightweight when it comes to horror films.
No, you're good because you watch creepy stuff. You're getting there. We'll build you up.
I'm gonna go back to it. I'm gonna go back to it, and maybe I'll just watch it in stages.
Yeah. That's a good thing to do. But I highly recommend The Visit, everyone. If you haven't watched it, give it a go.
Watch The Visit. Look, it'll be on Amazon. It always is.
Yeah, you can find it. It's out there wherever in the world you are. It's recent enough. You can find it. It's not that obscure. You'll find it.
Yeah, it's 2015 or something. Yeah. Anyway, Alison, thank you very much for your horror recommendation. Let's go back to Maureen Younger. She has a corner. It has been cultured. There's nothing wrong with it. It's actually fine. And you could drink it safely. Don't concern yourself.
What the f***?
Of course, it's the corner time that is often cultural, but sometimes just batshit.
My cultural corner at the moment today is exhibitions in London, which feature women. Obviously, if you're not London-based, but you can always look at the websites and this can lead you to finding out about artists and stuff that might be of interest. The first one is Woman in Revolt, and that's on now to the 7th of April at the Tate Britain. And it witnessed over 100 women artists who were working in the UK from 1970 to 1990 in this landmark feminist art exhibition, exploring how they used radical ideas and rebellious methods during a period of extreme social, economic and political change. So that sounds quite interesting. A very different exhibition. This is on Rubens and Women, and that's on until January. It's See the Powerful Women Who Inspired and Painted by Flemish artist Peter Paul Rubens in this major exhibition, uniting over 40 of his paintings and drawings to examine the important place women, both real and imagined, occupied in his world. And then this is one that I really want to go and see, which is Diva, and that's on at the V&A till April. Be dazzled by the iconic divas and their spectacular outfits in this star-studded show. And it's got, it just looks fantastic. It just celebrates the power and creativity of iconic performers, exploring and redefining the role of diva and how this has been subverted or embraced over time across opera, stage, popular music and film.
So wow.
Lots of dresses in that. That'd be my type of thing. And the last
When does that start?
It's already on. It's been on for ages.
Oh, it's already on.
Yeah, and I keep meaning to go. It's been on since June, and I'm keep meaning to go. It's on till April. And then the last one, and this is at the Foundling Museum, The Mother and the Weaver, and the complexities of motherhood, childhood, sexuality and identity are interrogated in this landmark exhibition, over 40 works by women artists.
Great. That all sounds amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's... I haven't been to an exhibition for such a long time. Like, I can't remember the last thing I went to go and see. So that all sounds really fantastic. Interesting. And
especially that Diva one. That sounds really interesting.
Oh, yeah. I've been meaning to go to that for absolute ages.
I haven't been to the V&A for 100 years.
V&A's fantastic.
So it is a really fantastic museum to go to. And it's kind of one that I never think to go to.
And it's free. It's free entry. If you like clothes, they've got one of the best fashion parts of the museum is dedicated to fashion throughout the centuries. It's absolutely brilliant. And there's a really nice courtyard in the middle where you can have coffee. Stuff, but
also they've got I think one of the best gift shops. I mean, I don't think you go to a museum for the gift shop, but it is pretty good. Like, it's got, because it's got all kinds of like prints and jewelry, accessories, and things that you wouldn't ordinarily get, because it's all about fashion and And so you can get like, and there's always loads of sort of art deco-y kind of stuff in there. If you like that sort of thing as well. I think the reason why I've never been is because I don't think I've ever thought it'd be something the kids would be interested in. They don't tend to have exhibitions that I think, oh, the kids would love to go and see.
Do you know what's next to it is the Natural Science Museum, and that used to have like massive dinosaurs and stuff that moved. I don't know if it still does.
No, that's the Natural History Museum.
Oh, is that the Natural History Museum?
Yeah. But the Science Museum is there. So yeah, that's what I mean. If I go there to that part of London, we will go to the Natural History Museum or the Science Museum. But the V&A, that sounds great. These are all very good suggestions of things to go and see.
And I agree with you. I went there because I'm thinking, I saw the big fat, because they have always got great fashion stuff. So I went in there and I agree. The gift shop is phenomenal. Just saying, with Christmas coming up, you might find some original different type of gifts there than you would maybe on the high street or whatever. So that's a great thing, because it is. I remember that gift shop. There was so much jewelry I wanted to buy. Yeah.
I mean, it's not cheap. But it's a gift, isn't it? So go and check it out. And also, they do have quite fun prints, you know, like from the 1920s and things like that that don't cost an arm and a leg. Anyway, those are all fantastic suggestions, Maureen, as always. I didn't even know about that, given that that exhibition started in June. I don't know why I'm zoning in on the Diva one. That was the one that interested me. But maybe we'll put some information in the show notes of those various different exhibitions that you can check out. And I imagine, are they all in? They're not all in London, are they?
Yeah, they're all in London.
They're all in London. Well.
But, you know, but if you're interested in something, like if you're interested in the women's artists, you could always, there'll always be information on the website, which you can then lead you to looking into the artists that feature in it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Exactly. Perfect. Thanks very much, Maureen Younger, for your cultural corner. I don't know why I said you could drink it. What I was trying to say is it wasn't toxic.
You've made it worse.
Okay.
So look, we've been cultured. We've talked about problems. We've grown. We're better people. But let's let out our anger, Jen. We want to know what the hell's getting your goat.
Don't judge me. Now, you're going to be judging me now, but bloody well wait, okay? This is terrible, isn't it? That's what's got my goat. And do you know who I blame? Society. I don't appreciate how time is moving quite so quickly as it is. Why is that? I can't believe it's nearly Christmas again.
Yeah.
I really feel like we just had a Christmas episode and now we're doing another one. Why are we having to do them so close together? Surely they should be a year apart. I don't understand it. It's just so bizarre. As we get older, the years feel shorter and shorter. I just sneeze and the year's over. Yeah. I mean, I understand how and why that works, because as we get, obviously. But I really don't appreciate how quick my life seems to be speeding past my eyes. I remember being a kid and the time between September to December felt like an eon.
Yeah.
And now the time between September and December feels like 24 hours.
Yeah.
I'm like, can we? It's too quick is what I'm trying to say. Everything is happening too quickly for me. And I don't even know if it's getting my goat. I feel a bit sad about it. Why is it happening so quick?
I know.
Do you know what? I remember when I was young, I'd hear my parents go, I haven't seen so-and-so for 15 years. And you'd be like, how is that possible? And then you get to a certain age, you're like, oh, it's really easy.
Yeah,
it is. And, you know, there's that classic trope as comedians where we go, oh, you don't see someone for a year and then you pick up from where you left off. But I feel like that about almost all of my friendships. I see you for a couple of years. And then, because I mean, it's very easy to not see a close friend. I've got a couple of close friends and we've been texting going, when can we meet? And obviously I'm the problem. We can't meet because I'm never available. But and there's a couple of friends. I'm like, I have not seen you for the entirety of 2023. And I was like, that's so sad that we haven't seen each other at all, you know? And in many ways, the year's gone so quick. But it's just mad how it's just sort of sped by. Anyway, that's what's got my goat. It's the aging process again. We're back to aging, I guess, aren't we? That classic old, that whole thing of as you stay alive, you will get older. I mean, the alternative is worse, isn't it? So let's not be too much of a downer on it. We do want to stay alive and age. As I watch my number 11s get deeper and deeper. I think my number 11s are now starting at the top of my head and working their way all the way down. Somebody said to me recently, Jen, because I'm going over to America next year, and they were like, Jen, are you going to get Botox when you go to Los Angeles? And I was said, no, I'm not. And they were like, you will. And I said, I don't think I will. And they went, you absolutely are going to come back with Botox. And so she was so convinced of it. She went, you'll have to. And I went, but why? She went, because everyone's got it and it will look weird if you don't. And I thought, does everybody have it? I don't know. Maybe they do. I haven't.
A good amount. Yeah.
A good amount, right.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I think more people than you really think have a little bit of toxation.
I think it's difficult for me because I use my face so much in my show that if I suddenly froze it, people would notice.
Jen seems really chill.
Why is that so funny? Why is that so funny, boy?
No, because it is. You do use your face a lot. Could you imagine? I'm really angry.
Yeah, exactly. It wouldn't. I just don't think it would work. Anyway, that's it. We must accept that we're all just
38.
Eternally 38 years of age, Maureen. It's a big one for you this year, next year.
Next
Maureen,
year.
You're going to be 38 again.
A special
the 38.
The
big 38.
Big 38.
Very special 38.
38.
Going all the way to Vienna, right? Aren't we, Maureen?
Bought my ticket last night. Actually, it was quite cheap.
Mine was cheap. Wizz Air.
Oh, no. Mine wasn't as cheap as Wizz Air. I'm flying British Airways.
Yeah. I mean, I can only take an envelope of clothing with me. If you carry more than an A4 envelope of clothing, you're not allowed on the plane.
The flight costs double.
You have to pay an additional £238 to take a rucksack on with you. But otherwise, it's very
cheap. Really cheap.
So that's why I'll only be taking edible underwear with me. Women talking bollocks.
If you have enjoyed WTB, please make sure that you subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and leave us a little review.
Oh, you can check out our socials now on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and you never know, we may even get on TikTok.
And if you do like the show, please do have a look at our Patreon for bonus content and weekly treats. Will that do?
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.